We're glad to be here once again this morning, and we are coming back to James chapter 1, and we'll pick up this morning in 13 through verses 18. And so as you're headed to right there and looking for James, he's toward the back part of the Bible, and we're looking for that. We're coming out of verse 12, and I just want to get this in your mind frame before we pick up our scripture and read today. And he reminds us in verse 12, "Blessed is the man who endures temptation, for when he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life which the Lord has promised to those who love him." So I want you to gather that in your mind. I want you to understand that. And last week we kind of talked and we tied through verses 2 to verse 12 all together in that sense. We're to know that we were reminded in verse 2 that we're to count it all joy to when we fall into various trials. And we saw all that was taking place there, that during those trials that there's a testing aspect that is there, that God is producing patience, and we know that patience, as God continues to work in our life through time, creates this perfect work that is found in Christ that is in each one of us. We are to ask for wisdom, and God will graciously give us wisdom as we go through those. We are to exalt in Christ and Christ alone, no matter our status in life. But we find ourselves blessed when we have persevered through temptations and trials, when we have run the course that Christ has set before us, placing our faith completely and totally in Christ alone. Then we will receive a crown. And we talked about, think more of the Greeks and the Romans would have understood runners in a race, and they would have not received a crown that we think of with jewels and all this, but it's kind of this leafy thing for the joy and the pleasure of the race. But we will receive the crown of life from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and it will be forever. So if you have found James chapter 1, verse 13, let's rise and you're able, let's rise and honor the reading of God's word. James picks up in verse 13 and he says, "Let no one say when he is tempted, 'I am tempted by God.' For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he himself tempt anyone. Each one is tempted when he draws away by his own desires and enticed. Then, when desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin. And sin, when it is full grown, brings forth death. Do not be deceived, my beloved brethren. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above. It comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. Of his own will he brought us forth by the word of truth, that we might be a kind of first fruits of his creatures." Let's pray this morning. Dear Lord God, we come to you and we come to the text before us. Lord, open up our eyes and our ears and our hearts and our souls, that we may hear your word speak to us this day, that it would have the convicting and transforming power that it does as we continue to say, "Yes, Lord, you are my God." Lord, move mightily among us this day, that we would continue to be able to claim you as our God because we are your people, that we are faithful and that we are obedient, and that we have given it all to you because we have repented of our sins and been redeemed for your glory and honor. So guide us this morning as we walk through your word. For it is in Christ's name we pray. Amen. So you may be seated. And so a couple of things we need to just kind of talk about here as we get into our text. And like I mentioned, we already mentioned in verse 2 that we're to count it all joy when we come into various trials. And then in verse 12, that blessed is the man who endures temptation. And then we come to verse 13, and we see this tempted word again. And so just one thing we need to be reminded of, that word that is translated tempted is the same word that we saw in verse 2, which is translated trials. And then again in verse 12, that is that of temptation. And so when we go through this passage and we're thinking about our lives and we're thinking about as we walk down the way and understand that we walk through trials and we also walk through temptations. There are times when our trials may offer temptations to sin against God. We oftentimes speak, when we speak of temptation, we typically put that in the sense of there is a possibility, there is something before us that may lead us down the path that if we choose into the path of sin. Trials have that same possibility. When we walk through trials, we may come into that as well. And so James has just talked about that blessed is the man who endures temptation. And we're all talking about we're to count it all joy when we walk through those. Why? Because God is doing a work in us. There is testing, there is refining that is in there. But it's a very important point that James is about to make here that we need to understand and we need to wrap our minds around and we need to understand it and hold it true because it is the truth of God. And so he says in verse 13, let no one say when he is tempted this, I am tempted by God. Very important right there. So he's like, do not make the mistake, do not make the theological error to say as we walk through these trials and temptations come upon us there that we may say that I am tempted by God. Why is that? James goes on to explain. God cannot be tempted by evil. Say that once again. Understand this. God cannot be tempted by evil. And so kind of therefore, even if it says nor, does he himself tempt anyone? So we need to be careful here that we are of the understanding and understanding that God in who he is, his nature, his essence, and all of those attributes of God has no desire for sin or for evil. Therefore, he cannot be tempted in any way, shape, or form. God is righteous. God is holy. And I got bad news for us, but it is the truth. We are not. We are not. God is of a holiness and a righteousness that is far beyond what we can even begin to think of. We can't even come close. We don't even measure up in any way, shape, form. But we get to say, but by the grace of God, through the work of Jesus Christ on the cross, I get to stand in his presence, clothed in the righteousness of Christ, clothed in the holiness of Christ, because of who he is. God is holy. God is righteous. God is untemptable. We'll see in a little bit what God is unchangeable. He is the same yesterday as he is today, and he will be the exact same tomorrow. If any of those were to be not true, he would cease to be God. But we understand and we know that God is holy, God is righteous. He cannot be tempted. And so therefore He does not tempt us when we go through trials. And we go, whoa, man, some things we need to understand. God is holy, God is righteous, God is sovereign. He is Lord, He is Master. He knows all, He sees all, He's in charge of all. Nothing takes place without His knowledge, but He is not able to fall into sin, and He is sinless. Sin doesn't even become an issue for Him. That is us. And so we may find ourselves going, well, God is sovereign. He knows what's going on in my life. Surely He has to be involved in this temptation that I have. And the answer to that is no. God knows what you're going through. God is watching. God is aiding us. But when it comes down to sin, that is us. And we see James begin in verses 14 and 15. He begins to flesh this out. One of the things I want you to remember by this, we've mentioned this many times before. What is sin? Sin is a choice that I make to disobey God. Sin is a choice that I make to disobey God. It is always I who chooses to sin. Others, when we oftentimes think of Satan, that Satan is the one there. Famous saying that's been around for decades, Satan made me do it. No, Satan didn't make you do it. You did that on your own. He may have helped make it look real good. But it always came to me, myself, that made that sin and my choice. And so we pick up in verse 14. As James begins to continue to share that, what does it exactly that takes place when sin is going on? How is God not tempted? And we talked about God is not tempted because He is holy and He is righteous. Do trials test us? Yes, we read that earlier in chapter 1. Why? That patience may endure, that there may be a growing and maturing of the faith. And we oftentimes talk about, man, there's a refining process that's going on. God is molding and He is shaping us in His life, and there are difficult times that may lead us through this. But we come to verse 14. And so what does sin do? How does it take place? And understand this. Sin is a process. Now, it may not look like much of a process. It may happen really quick. But there is a process that takes place when we sin. So one of the authors I read this week says, it just does not come out of the blue. But it is a process. Who's involved in the process? Us. The I. We are the, in some ways, we are the victim and the individual that puts us in that place, at the same place. And so we come to verse 14 and we're told this. God cannot be tempted by sin. He cannot be tempted by evil. He doesn't tempt anybody into sin. Verse 14, but each one, what does that refer to? Every single person who lives, breathes, draws breath is alive. Each individual on our own. Look to your left, look to your right, turn around, look to the people behind you, and I am pretty sure you don't see anybody that looks exactly like you. They probably don't act like you, don't talk like you, and all of those aspects. They are an individual who has been created by God, and each individual is tempted by sin. It's just part of life. It's part of being a believer. It is part of being a Christian. Verse 14, but each one, each individual is what? Is tempted. They are tempted to sin. How? When he is drawn away by his own desire and enticed. Then, when desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin. Sin, when it is full grown, brings forth death. Now, I hope you understand, we're breaking this down. There is a process to sin. Each one of this goes through this process, and I can already tell you, each one of this has already been through this process. You go, well, how do you know that? God's Word tells us. Paul wrote to the Romans, all have sinned, fall short of the glory of God. We have all been through this process. Here's what took place. Each one is tempted. There's a temptation that is there. How did it look when he is drawn away by his own desires and enticed? Drawn away. I want to take a look at these words right here. It actually speaks of that, from my understanding, in the Greek, kind of that of hunting. It's kind of a hunting term there. And what it alludes to is it is, in essence, the baiting or placing something to where a wild beast, wild animal, may be drawn to that particular point where they can either be captured, snared, harvested, whatever. But it is something that is there that is meant to attract and to draw that wild beast in. What's it mean in this passage? There are things in our life that go contrary to God, that because we are flesh and blood and we come from Adam with a sinful nature, that we of our own desire. And like I said before, when we said each one, we are not necessarily always tempted by the exact same thing. There are some overall things that we may do, but each one of us individually may struggle with a sin in a particular area more so than others. And so we need to understand that, as he said. And so what's taking place? We are being drawn away. We are flesh and blood. We have come, as James is writing, yeah, the lights are flickering. So we may lose power. Who knows? There. We are drawn away from the things of God by what? Things that are in the world. Like I said, it looks different to us at each time. We are drawn away by what? Our own desires. What are those desires? I can't necessarily tell you what they are. But we are to know this. What? The heart of man is inherently wicked, inherently evil. We have a great love of us, of the self. We have a great love to satisfy ourselves in whatever manner that is. So that's what James is talking about here. When the temptations come, it is because we are flesh and blood. It's because of desires that run contrary to that of God that we struggle with, even as believers. That says, fill me with this. What's part of the temptation we often see? Sin masquerades itself as the answer to all your desires and pleasures. Masquerades itself says that this will be good for you. You will enjoy this. But here's the problem. Sin lies. Temptation to sin lies. Heard it said, it overpromises and under gives. It overpromises what the benefits and what the joy of that is, and it neglects completely and totally the consequences of where it will lead. We are tempted by our own desires. We are enticed. Enticed is actually a fishing term. It's the essence of you're putting bait on the hook. More often than not, you typically, when you go fish, whether you're using artificial or using real, you don't normally just throw the hook out there on its own. Your success rate drops way down at that point. But if you place something on that hook, you have a better opportunity of enticing that fish to bite. And then it bites. And then you set the hook. And then you reel it in. And for the fisherman, it's a great day. There, joy comes in. For the fish, probably not so much. But what do we see? When we are tempted. Why? Because the sinful side of us, the side that still struggles with the flesh and blood, the desires that are in us, desire these things, that we are enticed by this, and we begin to lose sight, and we are deceived by what we're told. And so there's a deception that takes place at this point. We're deceived by this sin, and it begins to eat on us, and we desire it, and we are enticed by it. Verse 15. And then so we've been deceived, and there's this desire that we got to have it, whatever it is. Man, I want that. Verse 15. Then, when desire has conceived, it's first a thought. And that thought begins to build. And that conceived part, yes, is speaking that of like, think birth. There's a conception, and eventually, you know, there is a birth of a child. When that thought has been conceived and it works in our lives, it hits the point that it becomes an action. That's what he's talking about here. When desire it has conceived, it gives birth to sin. We have fallen for the deception because we desired it. And at that point, we have committed the sin. We have disobeyed God. We have committed sin. What does sin continue to do at that point? James tells us, when it is full grown, it brings forth death. Sin always leads to death. There's a death that takes place. Sin is not satisfied with you do it once and you're done. Sin grows. Sin's desire is to grow, to continue to take more and more of your life. To continue to desire more and more of your life. And that's what it talks about when it says, when it is full grown, it brings forth death. Now, what are we to understand? Because part of it goes, well, but James is writing to church. He's writing to the people who have given their life to Christ. What does that mean? Man, what's taking place? Understand this. There's a difference between a spiritual death and a physical death. And I'm not telling you that if you sin, that a physical death is going to take you out immediately. Now, what do we know? Because of sin in our world, death, physical, comes. The question is, spiritually, are you to be found in Christ or are you dead in Christ? And so what we see here is James is writing to the church. And he was like telling them, man, here's how sin comes about in our lives. And while we may still hold our salvation in Christ, because He has paid for our sin has consequences. Our effectiveness as a witness for Christ, our effectiveness for the glory of God may be diminished. Brings death to that around us. We lose our ability to continue to share the gospel and people believe. So we find ourselves in this realm, man. What in the world, therefore, are we to do? What do we do with this? In essence, the same thing we hear is, where is my hope? And let me tell you, there's great hope here. Verse 16. James reminds us, and he's telling us what? Do not be deceived. Have wisdom. Understand what the temptation is. We also got to understand some things too. There are times that we're very wary and aware of temptations that take place in our life. Man, we're throwing up the armor and we're throwing up the shield and we're ready for those attacks there. We also need to acknowledge, man, there are times in our life we don't have a clue that we are being tempted to sin. And we are very susceptible to sin at that point. May you never say, it can't happen to me. Because all of us are able of great atrocities against God. But by the grace of God, not I. And so may we be wary of that. And so we're understanding here, verse 8, man, don't be deceived by what's going on. Understand that, sir, what are we looking for? We said, don't be deceived, my beloved brethren. Verse 17, he's picking up what? Every good gift, every perfect gift is from where? It's from above. It comes down from, and we see it said, the Father of lights. Who what? Whom with there is no variation or shadow of turning. What do we see going on? We need to understand that there is a deception that's going on that's telling us, man, this will solve it. But we know, man, that goes contrary to God's word. We are to understand this. Every good and perfect gift comes from God Himself. That is the Father of lights. How do I read that? Creator of everything. Think sun, moon, stars. All that takes place. All that we see. He is God of all that. He has set them up. That we spin around. We rotate around on the earth every day. We go around the sun 365 days a year. You can go out and tonight you can look at the sky. And if there's not a cloud there, you can begin to chart stars. And if you do this long enough, you will see patterns in them and how they move. You'll begin to see where the difference between as we rotate and the earth shifts on its axis, where the sun comes up, where the sun goes down. You can chart all those things. We see them happening day in and day out. Sun comes up, we go through the day. Sun goes down, it gets dark, we go to bed. Sun comes up, we wake up the next day, do it all again. Now, but what do we also see? We see the sun and the moon. They will move some. They move according to the pattern God has laid forth. Constellations do the same thing. God is the creator. He has established all this. But there is no variation with God. There is no shadow of turning with God. Why is that? Because God is unchangeable. God is unchangeable. He does not move. He does not move. He is the same and He is there. So where is our hope? We have come to faith in Christ. If you have not come to faith in Christ, your only hope is in the work of God. It's in the work of Christ who died, and to pay the price of sin, that you may be covered once and for all and given your life to Him, to love Him with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, and become a follower and a believer and grow in the maturity and the wisdom and the knowledge, and that is of God. James has been talking about that. Man, where's our hope as believers when we are tempted in these trials and tempted to sin? Our hope is in God, the unchangeable one. Verse 18, all about God. What do we see? Of His own will He brought us forth. We should be reminded it has always been God who has went out and hunted us down when we were lost. When we have come to faith in Christ, it is God who still comes forth to carry us through to the end. It is God who brings us forth. It is God that continues to work in our life. It is God that is the one that is to help us through the trials and the temptations. It is God who is to help us overcome sin. It is God that is to help us kill it and kill sin where? At the very beginning. That we may understand that there is a deception that sin shows us, that we God made through the power how of His Word. As we grow and mature in the faith, we would recognize these deceptions. And at that point, with the power of God working through us, through the power of the Holy Spirit that indwells us as believers, we can kill that deception right there before what? Before that deception turns into desire, before that desire turns into disobedience, before that disobedience turns into death. And as the way we do that, we can only do it through the power of God. That is the only way. Of His own will He brought us forth. How? By the word of truth. By His Word, the Word of God. We call it the Bible. God's Word spoken to us for His salvation. That is how He brings us forth. That is how He works in our lives. That we have faith and trust in His Word. And He will bring us forth if we persevere with faith in Him. He is able to bring us all the way home. We got our faith and trust. He brings us forth by His Word of God. Why? That we might be a kind of first fruits of His creatures. What is this first fruits? And it's comes from the Old Testament expression. There was a time that they were to celebrate. It's actually called first fruits. Well, what was that? It was the time of harvest. The people, if they were putting their faith and trust in God, would take the very best of that very first harvest and they would bring it to God. Why? Because it says, man, I trust the Lord to carry me through. They would celebrate the first fruits because it would also point to that was the first of others to come. So we are being presented as a first fruit, that we might be presented as a kind of first fruits to the rest of the world. He said, man, people of God, know this. We walk through trials and temptations. Put your faith and trust in God. Know His Word. Study His Word. Love His Word. May ask Him for wisdom that when we go through trials, that we go through temptations, that our trials and then when we encounter these temptations of sin, that we would understand that we love God more than we love the desire of the flesh. And that through the power of God working through us, we may kill that desire. Therefore, keep from sin. That we may have a gospel effect on this world. It's another aspect of the first fruits, is that for us, as we grow and mature in the faith of Christ, there are better days to come. There is a better promise to come. Let me tell you, you may not see the better part of it here on earth, but there is a better day to come. And it is found in Christ. David Platt tells us this as he was wrapping up this, and I think it's a good word for us. So what are we to understand? First, God has saved us from our sin. He has saved us from our sin, then we can know beyond a shadow of a doubt that He will see us through the sorrows, the trials, and the temptations. He goes on to say, contemplate, think of the truth of the gospel. Think of the God who conquers sin, that He conquered suffering through the death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. So that this day, you and I can consider the trials pure joy, and we can face the temptation with steadfast confidence that we belong to Christ. We belong to Christ, and He is able to bring us forth to the end. May we be His people. May we be faithful to our God through the love of His Word. May we be faithful to our God through the living of our lives. May we be faithful to our God that He will rule and reign in our life, and we will be His people, walking with Him, wary of the sin of temptation, whatever that may fall, that we may be strong in God to help us through the trials, temptations, for the glory of God and the crown of life which will be bestowed to those who persevere in the faith through the end. Let's pray this morning. Dear Lord God, we come to You and give You praise and glory and honor and just thank You for all that You continue to do. Lord, may You continue to move mightily in our day. May You call us to repent of our sin, because we have made You Lord of our life. Lord, may we who believe understand how sin works, that we may be ready for the deception, and that through Your power working through us and the loving of You through Your Word and God, may You kill it there. That we might be found in Your glory. Lord, for those we know, they've never given their life to them. But Lord, may You make them understand the separation they have because of the sin that is in their life. And may they understand the gift of freedom given on the cross. That Christ died to pay the punishment of sin, and that it is available for those who believe. Lord, work in their hearts that they may repent and be redeemed. And Lord, we give You glory this day because You are the great God. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.